hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we continue with the story of the people of Israel. Joshua has led the people of Israel across the Jordan with that miraculous help, and they have entered the promised land. But it hadn't been all that straightforward. After marching around the city of Jericho 7 times, the walls finally fell and the people were given a place for their new beginning, a place where they can now settle and build. And Joshua then is really blunt with the people. He reminds them how God had called their ancestors, but now they had to decide for themselves. Did they want to follow God in this new land, or did they want to choose some other God, perhaps a God of the culture around them? Who are they going to follow? This is not the end of the story. This is a beginning of a story. Ahead of these people lies a whole new struggle that will take them all they have to follow God. There are going to be temptations on their way. As much as these people have seen God's power, have been led by God, there is still a choice to be made. And when they say, yes, we want to follow God, Joshua argues back. He says, no, you actually won't follow through with this with your lives. You say now you're going to, but it's not that straightforward. Why say you're going to? The people of Israel argue, assuring Joshua that they will follow God and they are choosing God's ways. Story unfolds to eventually prove Joshua right. The people do fail in following God's ways until ultimately God sends Jesus to deal with human failure, because that is the human story. Life gets hard and we don't make it. We don't keep the promises we made. We fail to live the kind of lives that God wants us to. At times we succeed, but at other times we fail. Things often don't happen in life as we would like. This year has been a classic example of that. When I think back to the start of 2020, there was no way I could envisage where we would go as a country and as a world. But good and bad continue to weave their way through our lives. And just like the people Joshua was addressing, we too have to face a reality check. We live in a time when church numbers are dropping hugely, because following God is not simple. Even after we've experienced the wonder of crossing the Jordan, even after we have seen the falling of walls, it is still hard. Temptations are everywhere. Other gods, other rituals, from work imbalance to dishonesty in relationships to financial mismanagement to pornography, such options dangle constantly before us. And we are called to decide whether or not we are in it for the long haul, if we're committed to living Jesus' way for good. And we have to keep making that choice. Choose this day. It's not enough to live on a choice made 10 years ago. We need to constantly reassess our priorities and choose how we're going to live our lives today. As Joshua said, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And amidst all the crazy of this year, I've seen wise choices and I've seen foolish choices. And as I reflect on those, I ponder, what makes a wise choice wise? And what makes a foolish choice foolish? Do we really only know in hindsight, or are there ways we can know in the moment? And so we turn to our gospel reading, to Jesus telling a story to describe the kingdom of heaven, a story about those 10 bridesmaids who took their lamps and went to meet the groom. 5 foolish, 5 wise. The wise took extra oil with them while the foolish did not. So when the groom was delayed in arriving, and they all fell asleep as they waited, their lamps went out. And at midnight, when the groom finally appeared, the wise had oil to refill their lamps and the foolish did not. The foolish expected to be able to use the oil of the others, but that wasn't to be. Instead, they had to go and get more oil, and they miss the bridegroom, and they miss the whole wedding feast. And as I look at those women with their lamps, in all honesty, I know that there are parts of me in both of those groups, wisdom and foolishness. So take some time to have a think about how you see the differences between those two groups. Remember that this was a time when marriage customs were very different from ours today, where we expect bridesmaids to attend the bride, not the groom. But back then, the maids were to wait for the groom and escort him into the celebrations. And whereas we have set dates and times for weddings, in the culture where Jesus lived, the time was not specified. The expectation was that these women would wisely wait and be prepared for the unexpected arrival of the groom. For me, the main difference seems to be that the wise ones allowed for the possibility that the bridegroom would come in his own time. The possibility that things would not happen the way they expected. Whereas the foolish thought that things would happen and would happen in their expected time frame. The wise women were prepared for a long wait and prepared for the unexpected as they looked forward to the thrilling moment when all the friends would create this wonderful moment as they greeted the new couple. I know I'm not very good at waiting patiently for things to happen, but I also know that there are seasons, times for things that may not always fit with my sense of timing. I would love peonies all year round, but that is not the way of reality. And even in the world of nature, we cannot know exactly when things will happen. Just remember back in January, that smelly flower in the winter garden, the Titan arum, that flowers when it wants to, blooming at notoriously unpredictable intervals. A reminder that as much as we think we can be in control, it is often not the case. I remember waiting for 15 days past my due date for Natalie to be born, and yet had Rebecca arrive a month early. Life is often unexpected. And amidst the unexpectedness, sometimes we will thrive and other times we will fail. Following God's call on our lives is to know that we will fail, but be prepared for that. So that when we do fall asleep on the job and fail to be awake to what God is calling to us to, at least when we wake up, there will be oil for our lamps. You see, we all have parts of each of those women in us. Sometimes we're alert and ready to obey, and other times we're asleep on the steps. Wisdom helps us to understand that life will not always go as we plan. Foolishness assumes we don't need to prepare. God's time is not our time. The kingdom is not yet fully present, and we don't know when it will be so. But we are called to keep awake and be prepared for the times when we fall asleep. So what does being prepared look like? What does it mean to have oil there for our lamps? Lamps in the time of Jesus were a simple pottery dish into which was put a linen wick and some oil, often olive oil. They were either moulded by hand or made on a potter's wheel. Over time, people had realised that by pinching a spout in the clay, the wick would hold in place more effectively. By having four spouts and four wicks, the lamp could burn quite brightly, but the oil would be used up more quickly. It was a clever way of providing clean, safe light throughout the year. The more open oil dishes were common way back in the time of King David, but by the time of the Greeks, the lamp had changed to this more closed-in body to lessen the chance of spilling the oil, and the clay was glazed so that the oil didn't seep through the clay. So by the time of Jesus, lamps had become extremely plain and functional, often made en masse using lamp moulds and then exported across the empire. So lamps, they come in a variety of shapes and sizes, but what's important is that it has the fuel to burn. A lamp is useless without the oil it needs to bring light. And if we're serious about being prepared for the long haul, then we have to be willing to carry oil with us. That's a choice to be made, the choice to carry oil. Choose today whether or not you are in it for the long haul. And I think carrying extra fuel will look different for each of us. but it's carrying that which keeps us going in the faith. Something we each have to do for ourselves. We can't rely on the person sitting next to us for it. It may be simple disciplines of our faith. Simple in that they're not rocket science to do. What's often difficult about them is to practice them regularly. The gathering together with others, Christians, in worship. Reading the Bible. Individual prayer and study. And acts of service that we engage in. Extra oil will be different for each of us, but extra oil will have a cost, and there will be some effort required to carry it. But it will be necessary if we're to be prepared for the future, whatever it may bring. Otherwise, we may end up left simply with an empty lamp, the outward vestiges and appearance of faith, and nothing to keep the light alive. And such a lamp with no fuel is useless in the dark. So choose this day. Choose the way of wisdom that prepares for times of failure, but has done the work so that you can get back up again and refuel your lamp. Don't let your lamp become a pretty but useless ornament, but instead make sure you work on your faith so that you hold a lamp that can be relit and relit and relit and relit so you're able to share light with others. So be it. Amen.